morning. Today is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Last week, we looked at the purpose of the wisdom of God, and that was that through the functioning body of believers, His multifaceted wisdom, which is unparalleled in its variety, would be made known to the evil spirit realm again, again, and again, over and over and over. Within God's wisdom, beloved ones have an ever-abounding supply to love with God's love and to stand firm with His stability and strength. You know, we would like to think that everyone would want to live like this, right? But as we know from scriptures, the group is growing who despise and reject wisdom and instruction. And, you know, those are the people who regard the wisdom of God as passé. You know, it's insignificant. It's not up to the times. And yet, the Word of God testifies of itself that it endures through eternity. It endures through all generations. So, you know, really, whether people believe truth or discount its soundness, their disdain does not affect the truth in any way. People might not believe there will be a gathering together, for example. Okay, there's still going to be one. So it doesn't matter to me if they believe it or not. You know, unbelief concerning the Lord's return won't delay the event one picosecond. And that's one trillionth of a second. Truth doesn't need approval ratings to triumph. The reigning truth of God's word is able to stand on its own. Now, on the other hand, however, it is true that what people believe concerning truth will affect them. So it is a wise move for us to get our hearts situated in our favor. Let's take a fresh look, for example, at Proverbs 1:7. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it is fascinating to think through the various definitions of the Hebrew word for beginning. And when I went back into the etymologies, the word for beginning, it means submit. It's an upper part. It's chief, total, choices, best, and the sum. It actually stemmed from an unused primitive root word meaning to shake or tremble, and it can be literal or it can be figurative. Of the 51 occurrences in the King James Version, it is most translated as beginning or first fruits. Now, to me, this was fascinating. When we think of first fruits, we think harvest. In a figurative sense, let's consider what that would mean in this verse. To say the fear of the Lord is the first fruit of knowledge. And, of course, knowledge here in the context, it's the highest sense. The high knowledge in the highest sense is the knowledge of God. And it includes obedience to the knowledge. So logically, when you follow it through, how could we, in awe of His greatness, reverence the Lord without any prior knowledge of Him? You know, without knowledge of Him, all we could do is maybe have fear in the negative sense of just simply being afraid of Him. The hearsay that goes around, all the hellfire and damnation things that are tossed to and fro. And really, this is why godly parenting is so crucial in building the heart of a child from its birth. All through Proverbs, we see the exhortation to youth to listen and hearken to the words of their fathers and mothers, as well as the instruction to fathers and mothers to keep the word at the center of that family unit. You know, put it on the doorpost, put it on the frontlets of your eyes, hang it around your neck. You know, fill your home. Speak of it in the morning, in the evening, and throughout the day. Certainly in our teaching, and even more in the way we live those teachings, that little innocent baby, it should have learned so much about love even before he or she is able to crawl or walk. I mean, that's really something. But that's how pervasive, that's how powerful the knowledge of God, the fear of the Lord, that's the wisdom. That's how it works. So last week we read in Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 4. But now I want to go back to these verses. It will be more clear that our reverent awesome for Jehovah is the first fruit of knowledge. So in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And the purpose of him writing these down was so that people would know wisdom and instruction, that they could perceive the words of understanding. To receive the words of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And now, continuing on in verse 5, a wise man will hear. He'll hear that knowledge and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So here we are in verse 7 now, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the first fruit of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So with godly knowledge, we perceive and regard Jehovah with ultimate honor and undisputed respect. Our personal fear of the Lord is made known by the conduct of our lives, not by our emotional highs from hearing an inspiring teaching. Those aren't wrong. But regardless of the highs and lows in life, our fear of the Lord is a constant in our heart. Our manner of life should demonstrate that we know the truth of Him, how we retain Him in our highest estimation, in our awe and wonderment of Him, and in our confident trust in Him out of humble, innocent hearts. You know, I was looking up fear in secular dictionaries, and most of them give the meaning of awe as feelings of respect mixed with fear or wonder. Merriam-Webster defines awe as an emotion variously combining dread and veneration. The Free Dictionary called it an overwhelming feeling. Our trust in Jehovah, it's not an overwhelming feeling. It's not a feeling at all. It's not an emotion at all. It's a decision we made from the knowledge of God that we gained, that we attained. Our trust in Jehovah is a decision we made, a decision we made out of that godly knowledge. It's not a whimsical emotion, based on the ups and downs of the day. And biblically speaking, how could it be based on a feeling or an emotion? Biblically, the fear of the Lord could not hinge on emotions or feeling. We know all too well those can change in a heartbeat. And I don't want to split hairs, so to speak. We've all said the words we feel before, and, we're going to say them again. But the most important thing that I'm trying to point out is that we know in our hearts that the fear of the Lord is the summit. It is the top. It is the choicest. The fear of the Lord so far surpasses emotions. The fear of the Lord is the choicest first fruit of our knowledge of God. You know, the fear of the Lord becomes our disposition, our nature, our character. And metaphorically, it could be said that our hearts tremble at the considerations of God's vast greatness. In Psalm 86, starting at verse 10, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." You know, when we contemplate images of majestic mountains, when we think of the picture in our minds, the as far as the eye can see waters of the ocean that ebb and flow within the boundaries that God set for them, the miraculous healing of a man born blind from his, you know, he was blind from his birth, the instantaneous strengthening to feet and ankles that had only known lameness from the mother's womb. Think about the new birth, the hope of Christ's return, and our eternity with him and with God. You know, isn't that much more than we would ever need to tremble with awe? Of course. Wouldn't dwelling on those things keep our hearts lively? Sure. How the devil has twisted the understanding of this most beautiful first fruit. It's just really sad. Because, you know, with godly truth about the fear of God, we are without the fear of evil. And yet he wants to turn it around so that we have freedom with him and we're all tied up in knots and afraid of God. Oh, it's just so backwards. We have no battle with evil. That battle has already been won. And how well the evil kingdom knows that, by the way, because the body of Christ keeps making the manifold wisdom of God known to that world of darkness. Proverbs 19:23 says this about the fear of the Lord. "The fear of the Lord," and of course all these lords are Jehovah, "tendeth to life." And tendeth refers to being alive, growing. So it's like green as in vegetation, flowing as of fresh water, lively and active as of human movement, and reviving as of the springtime. And verse 23 then continues, "And he that hath it," he that hath the fear of the Lord, "shall abide satisfied." And that means we're going to abound. We're going to be enriched, fulfilled. Every need can be met. Not everyone's need will be met, but those who have the fear of the Lord, every need will be seen and met. And the verse closes with this phrase, "He shall not be visited with evil." You know, we are in a day, we know that evil is afoot. We know that the God of this world reigns, and we are just traveling through. So we will have difficult days. The Word talks about those. The apostles, the early church, they had incredibly rough days ahead of them at times. But it is so minimized when with the fear of the Lord in our hearts, because we do have the ultimate deliverance no matter what. God has it all covered. Job 28:28, "Behold," that figure of speech that means, hey, give this some thought. Think about this. Be sober about this. "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." You know, the fear of the Lord is, it's not just having reverence to God. It's a relationship. It is the response to his love for us. And it's back and forth. Proverbs 16:16, and this is in the New English, verses 16 and 17. How much better it is to acquire wisdom than gold. To acquire understanding is more desirable than silver. You know, working all these verses together, the central theme makes it clear to the seeker that farming the knowledge of God yields the choicest harvest. Absolutely. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to turn away from evil. The one who guards his way safeguards his life. It is within our right and power to choose, and it's within God's power and might to uphold all that he has said, all that he has promised. The word of God cannot be defeated, and the only way it gets defeated in our living it is if we allow it. But we can guard our way and safeguard our life with his word. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So, I'm going to go slow with this so you follow. Wisdom is the first fruit of the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is the first fruit of the fear of the Lord. Just as the fear of the Lord is the first fruit of the knowledge of God. So the fundamental principle is to love and reverence God. The word for wisdom comes from a primitive root word, and it means to be wise in mind, word, and deed. So, you know, it starts with the knowledge in our minds. We believe it, we speak it, and we do it. We follow up. So God's will is for us, according to this verse, get it, acquire it, obtain it. And then with all your totality and in everything, get understanding. So we have to follow through. The getting means that with all the things you acquire, the aim of acquisition is wisdom and understanding. Understanding actually means discernment, to perceive it, regard it, consider diligently, distinguish it with regard to the word. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom, as we're going to see in the weeks to come, it's presented as a person. And this person is a woman offering the guidance, holy guidance, and spiritual help. And although she cries aloud throughout the streets, often she's ignored. But she is a help. She is an adornment. She is a garland to anyone who will give attention and heed to her words. Then, on the other hand, foolishness in the book of Proverbs, it is also presented as a person. And that person is a woman of questionable character, whereas the woman of wisdom is virtuous. But this woman of questionable character, under the cover of darkness, endeavors to entice youth and flatter the gullible away from the wisdom of God into her house of iniquity. So as I said, in the weeks ahead, we'll continue gleaning the goodness in Proverbs in our effort to gain a mental clarity of our spiritual pursuits. Love to all of you. God bless.